And welcome back in, live from the KGGF studio. Sam Speck and Deborah Woodall with you as we're joined in studio with Scott Barnhart. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to have you in with us this morning.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, and of course, for those not in the know with everything that goes on at the county, Scott Barnhart is actually our Director of Environmental Health for Montgomery County, and a lot of stuff goes on over there in that department that people aren't aware of. So let's just start first, Scott, if you don't mind, with kind of a broad view of what all you're responsible for.
Okay, the Environmental Health Department for the county pretty much handles on-site wastewater systems, other wastewater issues that might go on in the county, individual water wells. We also take care of solid waste issues, complaints in regard to that. We're responsible for keeping the solid waste plan for the county up to date. And then we handle other issues outside of that, that include like the American Disabilities Act compliance for the county. We also handle some of the planning and zoning matters for the county in that office also.
And, you know, anytime someone sells rural property that has a septic tank, you go out and do an inspection to make sure everything's kosher there?
Be it a septic tank or any on-site system, a lagoon, septic systems, yes, or an individual water well. If there's an individual water well involved, we're involved in that.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, the ADA compliance. That's something where I know covering various city governments and city meetings, a lot of times they kind of rely on you as the ADA expert to go to kind of double check what they're working on.
Yes.
Sometimes too. So
yes,
you get called in for City Hall occasionally as well.
Yes. We just recently, of course, with the election, we have to ensure that the polling places that are provided through the county election officer, though all those polling places meet the ADA standards.
Yeah. So. Now, is it ever difficult for you to deal with the county clerk, Charlotte Scott Schmidt?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. It's always been a very professional standpoint there. So.
Yeah. For those of you not aware, his first name is Scott, and that's kind of a family name.
Yes,
you
is.
Might say. Charlotte is his mother. So, anyway, if you ever see him, you can tell right away that they are related. So, anyway, let's talk about something else that's going on, because you really have been tasked with recently. I mean, it's kind of turned into a really big issue for you and your department, and that is animal seizures.
Yes, we're also tasked with somewhat the animal control, or I should say animal welfare authority for the county. That is, in recent years, became a larger portion of our job due to the frequency and the magnitude by which these events have occurred for the county. Everything from dog fighting to chicken fighting seizures of those animals. So yes, it's expanding.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, they think, okay, well, if someone's running dog fighting or chicken fighting, you go out, you write them a ticket, and you're on your way, right?
No, not exactly. When these type of issues occur, we have to seize the animals in a lot of instances, and from that point on, by the time we get there, in many times, those animals are in bad shape already. So at that point, we also are tasked with having those animals properly cared for and restored to back to where they're in a condition by which they can possibly be adopted or moved on to another facility that can care for them.
Yeah, and it doesn't just stop with animals that are involved in, you know, fighting you know, for example, you think about chicken fights or dog fights, but you know, you have this whole other issue where perhaps people are, you know, and I'm not sure what else to call it, Scott, than just call it they hoard pets.
Yes, that's true.
And maybe their intentions are good.
Most of them are. Most of them think they're doing a good thing for the animal. And in those instances, those animals generally are never short on affection. But unfortunately, they can't provide the resources to keep them fed, to keep them wormed, to keep them, you know, in the condition that they need to be. So, it's a heart-wrenching situation in many aspects because, you know, you're taking animals and they truly do love the animal, but they just can't provide the financial resources to keep them in.
Yeah, and you're dealing with cats and puppies.
Mm-hmm. Many times cats and puppies, we've dealt with Vietnamese pot-bellied pigs, rabbits. We've had a pretty wide gamut of the different type of animals that we've had to deal with.
Yeah. And on what is, would you say recently, some of the bigger cases you've seen that you've had to deal with where you go in and you're like, okay, now what are we going to do with this?
Probably one of the most challenging was we had a situation out in one of our smaller communities here in the county where there was a chicken facility. I shouldn't even say facility. It was a compound where the gentleman had evidently been fighting the chickens or raising the chickens there and taking them somewhere else, selling them somewhere else to be fought. And that presented quite a bit of challenge to us because we'd never, on that magnitude of 300 chickens, was in this facility. And then the aspect of just getting somebody to take them, they were in decent, pretty good condition. He'd taken pretty good care of them. But before we could move those animals, we had to have them tested for bird flu. So you can see everything, it just keeps spinning as far as you can't just adopt these animals out to anybody or let anybody have them. There has to be background checks and you have to do some testing. And this one was because of the bird flu concern at that time. They just wouldn't let us turn them loose until we had done some testing there.
And I think that's one thing people overlook as well, is when these do happen and they are malnourished or they are, you know, they need to be checked. That's in 300 chicken, that's probably a pretty good sized tab at the vet's office.
Yes, it is.
In terms of getting those checked for bird flu or whether it's a malnourished animal and you know, physical care or something like that. I mean, that costs quite a bit of cash.
Fortunately, we've been privileged to have some organizations, not-for-profit and stuff, that's really helped us out in that aspect as far as getting these chickens relocated. Yeah. and even the transporting of them. So, but the monetary cost of this can just spin out of control if you don't have resources to go to like those. So,
yeah, and you don't really have a budget for the amount of welfare you're having to do for animals.
No, and that's why I went to the commission on Monday and spoke to them specifically and made them aware that these events like this, when they do happen, we just don't have any funds set aside specifically for that. So it would certainly be nice if we do that, and I believe they're going to accommodate us there for next year's budget.
Yeah, and actually set it up under its own budget line. You had kind of suggested that maybe we could put it in the sheriff's department or somewhere like that, and sounds like it will, once they, if you know, depending on how things go through, they'll put it under its own budget item in the general budget.
Ideally it would go to the sheriff because a lot of the statutory law specifies the sheriff is in control of that. But if we can get a separate line where they can pull out of it and we can pull out of it, because we do it in a conjunction with each other, Ours is the investigation side of it, determining the animal's conditions, whether they need further action, and then they come in and help us after that. So,
With the large number of seizures that you have, when you go out to check, you get a call or whatever, and you guys have to go check. How do you prepare for that? And, because you don't know what you're going to walk into out there when you get a call.
Right. When we get a call, generally we'll do a preliminary drive-by and take a look at it. And if we can visibly see the animals, you can determine at that point whether there is a need for further action. At some point, you're going to have to get the sheriff involved with you to go out there and escort, accompany you on the investigation. At that point, we take a doctor of veterinary medicine that goes out with us and does the actual health check on it. So, and off of his determinations or hers, we decide whether the animal actually needs to be taken or if the owner can be given some animal husbandry guidance to enhance this animal, and then we'll continue to monitor that animal or animals at that point, and hopefully the owner can maintain that animal. We'll even seek out maybe some assistance for them if they don't have the monetary means to maintain it.
Yeah, and I think a nice step back from that as well for people that do, they have such a big heart and they have got these barn cats. Right. They come back with 20, 30, maybe a few litters at a time, and it's quite the operation. Now that you say that, it is a preliminary check, there's one check out there, then you get the sheriff's office involved. I mean, it's a whole operation, just something that could be avoided by, spay or neutering, or keeping a better eye on your animals, or, just keeping better care of them. And I think that's something overlooked by the public, that they just didn't really think that happened. That goes on countywide, especially in an area that is so full of agriculture and and livestock in that aspect. So
and it seems like it always peaks, of course, due to weather conditions. It's real cold, real hot. Those are the times we get the most.
Recently, it seems like there's kind of been an increase in the amount of work that your office has been doing in this regards. How many cases would you say you've investigated recently in terms of kind of what you've been having to deal with?
Well, investigations, several. We get several calls a month in regards to animals. Now, whether or not there's any action taken in, because a lot of times somebody will call in and say, there's a horse that I believe you need to go check out. And you get out there and the animal might be 30 years old, so at that point, you just make sure that there's proper food, shelter, and water for the animal, and they're being, sufficiently taken care of. So I would tell you, we probably handle, as far as the actual investigations, half a dozen a month during the peak times. Like I said, when it's real hot or real cold.
Yeah. So it's certainly a busy time for you guys then when that happens. And I think a lot of people sometimes dismiss the expense when people will wind up with a small. I hesitate to use the word herd, but several horses, and they'll be doing pretty good. But then just the price of horse feed can go up, or the cost of hay can go up, and all of a sudden it's a drought. There's not a lot of grass in the pasture, and it's hard, and they wind up in a situation they weren't really planning on being in, but there they are.
Yeah, and a fine example is this year, the price of hay, because everybody right now is after hay, because they believe it's to be short, and so the price of hay is substantially higher than it was last year. So those type of things have to be considered in.
All right. Well, Scott Barnhart, Director of Environmental Health for Montgomery County, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I'm Deborah Woodall. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.